Hello, this is Heat's weekly showbiz podcast. We're obsessed with where we cover everything from celebrity gossip to pop culture updates. Basically, the stories that we're obsessed with. It comes out weekly every Friday. And if you like what you hear here, the magazine is out now. Heat Radio is on 24/7 and you can go to heatworld.com for breaking news. I'm Jo Parkinson and I'm joined by Heat Radio's entertainment reporter Lucy Ford.
Hi.
Hello. And Heat Magazine's news director Izzy Sampson.
Hi.
Beyoncé's push party. What is there not to be obsessed with about this?
Yes, so you were really keen to talk about this and I know you're obsessed with it. So basically, Beyoncé had this push party, which is like a celebrity way of saying baby shower. She's already had three baby showers, which she called baby showers.
So this was these babies?
For these twins,
stop
yeah.
It.
So this is the fourth one. It was called a push party. It was held at this massive mansion in Hollywood. I'm hearing it cost about $500,000. So, quite, you know, a cheap one. There were loads of celebrities there. Jay-Z got on the dance floor. Apparently he gave a speech. It was big.
It was the pictures that I was obsessed with, though.
Yes.
The Instagram coverage.
Yes.
Yes.
Which may or may not have been, I feel,
slightly
adapted
is the nice way of saying it.
Yeah. Because yeah. She just looked incredible. And I'm not just saying, Beyoncé does look incredible, but when she's been pregnant with these twins,
she's clearly pregnant with twins.
She's massively pregnant and a lot of the time not looking that happy about it. And
yes.
She's huge.
Yeah, she's obviously quite like warm. Yeah. In the moment, but she looks amazing. It was like African themed, wasn't it? So she had like a little crop top, she had her belly out, and then she had like this sarong on, and she looked incredible. But I like that her pictures were so arty and it looked beautiful with her celebrity friends. And then her mum, Miss Tina, just puts up any old pictures. Like Miss Tina put up a picture of her husband, her new husband, pretending to be Beyoncé.
Follow a flower crown.
He's got a flower crown. He's got that veil over his head. You know, the first picture of her when she was pregnant. And she's like, look at my handsome man. And it's like, no, you can't take the piss out of your own daughter.
This is brilliant.
I feel like someone needs to take her down a peg or two, though.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? Like, someone needs to be like, okay, we're going to have a laugh about it. Because I feel like Beyoncé takes herself a little bit too seriously sometimes.
Yes, I mean, four baby showers.
Yeah, and also, I just call it a baby shower.
Push party.
Push party is a horrible phrase.
Why has she had three baby shower stroke push parties?
I think it was different groups of friends. So this one was like really close family.
Different tiers.
Yes, different tiers of friends. So if you went to the first one, I'm very sorry, you're outer circle. But yeah, this one was just really close family and then celebrity friends, which are different to the normal friends. So
yeah.
She had Serena Williams, who's also pregnant. She had Kelly Rowland. She had Michelle Williams. So just top tier celebrity friends.
The inner circle.
Yeah, I didn't see any non-famous or non-Beyoncé family faces there.
Solange, was she there?
Solange was there.
Okay.
Solange was there. So just really close in.
Maybe she wants to like fully confirm that she is pregnant this time. She's just trying to reiterate like, I am pregnant, guys.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you three times I'm pregnant.
Yeah, you can't say it's fake because look.
I am.
Look how many baby showers I've had.
Pregnant.
Would I have paid $500,000 for a push party if I was not pregnant?
Yeah.
Jokes on you.
I need to follow Miss Tina.
I know.
That is one thing, I don't know about you guys listening, but one thing I have already learned from this podcast is that I need to follow Miss Tina.
Yes, Miss Tina Lawson.
Because you get to see the real Beyoncé.
The real Beyoncé, which I don't think we get.
No.
Never.
Never, ever, ever.
Well, I mean, what is the real Beyoncé?
I don't know. I get in trouble quite a lot because I don't really get the Beyoncé hype. And I've had people shout in my face because I don't care about Beyoncé.
I feel like shouting in your face right now because she is a goddess. She is the absolute best. And also she's like the ultimate celebrity. Mm. She's not like pregnant with twins and sitting at home on the sofa having some biscuits and some tracky bottoms. She's having four baby showers and she's making Jay-Z get up on a dance floor.
I feel like shouting in your face too because lemonade. Hello.
I mean, from a reporter point of view, she is great value. But I just find the Queen Bee fandom quite intense. And I'm like, okay, guys, she's all right.
But you've got to take your hat off to her. So from a reporter point of view, she has not done an interview for the last 4 years?
Yeah, her PR team is insane.
She's not doing any promo ever for any of her music, yet she's always talked about her music always does really well. I think I just take my hat off to Beyoncé and Jay-Z, to be honest, the first billionaire couple in showbiz.
Yes, yeah, they're
worth several billion.
So that's why they've got $500,000 to spend on a push party.
Okay, guys, you've convinced me.
Okay, we win.
I'm now part of the Queen Bee fandom. I'm in the beehive.
So what about John Boyega then? He's got a new play. Lucy, you've been chatting to him.
Yes, he's making his stage debut. He's becoming an actor.
Just in case. I mean, does anyone not know who John Boyega is? I guess everyone
Star
knows
Wars.
Who is. Star Wars.
Finn from Star Wars. He kind of blew up. That was his first major role. He'd been in a few things, but obviously Star Wars is the thing that has catapulted him to mega stardom. And he's just finished filming Star Wars Episode 8, Last Jedi, and then he went straight into practicing for Voychek at the Old Vic, which is, from what I gather, a quite intense play about a couple trying to make their baby's life better.
So it's a real change of game from Star Wars.
It's a real play.
Oh,
do you know
really?
What I mean? Like it's a real play. The writer died when he was writing it, so it's been adapted loads of different times. Basically.
You just stick your own end on every time.
Basically,
like,
yeah.
And it was all a dream.
Yeah.
That's my end.
Exactly. So I got to chat to John, and I kind of forgot that when I interviewed him, he's younger than me.
What?
He's 23.
Oh my God, he's achieved so much and you've achieved so little, Lucy. What have you been doing with your life?
But I just, in my head, he's not got an age. Do you know what I mean? Because he doesn't seem older than me, but he definitely doesn't seem younger than me.
No.
I know. So I chatted to him about going onto the stage for the first time, and the stage is quite a superstitious place. So if you have any, like, you know, actors do like a routine every night because it's quite superstitious, break your leg, whatever. And so I asked him, does he have any pre-show rituals?
So before the audience come in, run around. It could be in your shorts, in your boxers, whatever it is. Throw a ball around. Do, you know, just play a game, play a stage game, own the space. And I feel it just gives you much more zen to just own the theatre. So we're going to be doing that as a cast for sure.
I like the idea of like a caretaker coming in and he's just in the Old Vic in his pants.
Boxes. Yeah. Running around.
Like, this is the preparation.
Yeah. Like a lunatic.
Has he agreed this with the rest of the cast? Because it seems like he's like, oh, we're all going to do that. It's like, is he going knocking on the doors being like, okay, strip down to your pants, we're going for a quick run.
And they're like, again?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
Come on.
I mean, I think he's one of those people as well, he's not instantly recognisable.
No.
So if the caretaker came in and he was running around on stage in his pants, he might think he was just a nutter off the street.
Yeah, he wouldn't be like, that's John Boyega. Yeah.
You wouldn't, would you?
It's not Johnny Depp that you'd be like,
no.
Okay.
Okay, Johnny.
But yeah, someone would be like, I think we need to get someone down here.
Yeah, he's a funny old one, because he's obviously he is massively famous. I don't know, I'm not that sort of intrigued. He's not one of those, I mean, you don't have to be intrigued by every single famous person and, you know, want to know everything about them, but he, for me, if I was to be doing that interview, Lucy, for example, I'd be like, what am I going to talk to him about apart from Star Wars?
That is kind of what I felt a little bit. It must be quite frustrating because all people want to talk about is Star Wars, but they actually can't talk about Star Wars. So you're asking a question you know you're not going to get an answer to, but you have to ask because you want to know. But yeah, I did actually ask about Star Wars though.
Obviously.
Star Wars Episode 8 is coming out at Christmas. We don't know anything about it as per usual, but he did say that it's going to be bigger and better than the last one.
What I know, being on set, from what I can remember, it's going to be a shocker. I definitely think it's an amp up and a level up from Episode 7. You know, a lot of people are like, how do you top that? Oh, you do. You Rian Johnson that. And he is at the helm of the franchise, and he's adding his own unique take on the story, but also, you know, keeping to the Star Wars culture. And so there are a few good surprises in there.
That makes me excited.
Are you going to sneeze, is he?
Are
you welling up?
Like, oh my God, he's so amazing.
No, I am going to sneeze at some point.
If you don't know, Rian Johnson is the new director of Star Wars. We took over from J.J. Abrams this time round, so it's not a J.J. film.
I thought that was a slang word.
Oh, really?
Rian Johnson.
It's hardly rhyming slang.
Yeah. Bless you.
You have the cutest sneeze of all time.
Thank you.
We're keeping that in.
No, yeah, edit that out.
No.
But yeah, so bigger and better, apparently, which is something to be very excited about.
It's really exciting. But I feel like John Boyega, even though he's really famous, you were saying he's not that recognisable. I know people that have just seen him just trotting about in Peckham.
There you go.
Where
is he
from?
One of those ones that you just see everywhere? And I have that with Conor Maynard.
Oh, really?
If I saw my celebrity crushes as much as I saw Conor Maynard, it would be fine. I see him literally everywhere.
Where does he live then? Stoke Newington?
No, I just see him like walking around central London.
Oh.
Everywhere I go, he is there.
Conor Maynard, are you all right? Do you need to come in to Heat Radio?
Just
have
wandering
a nice
around. Needs a hot meal.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't done much music for a while.
No.
So the other story that I am massively obsessed with this week is Katy Perry. Katy Perry in general and all the interviews that she's been doing, but particularly Katy Perry on Taylor Swift and the song Swish Swish.
I'm obsessed.
It's so good.
I am
good.
Literally obsessed with it.
So for years, we've been like hearing about this feud between them. There's been like weird tweets, like slightly shady tweets. Like obviously Taylor's bad blood kicked it all off about 3 years ago. But this week, Katy Perry is just like, yeah, you want to talk about it? I'm going to talk about it. So her song Swish Swish came out. Everybody was like, is that about Taylor? And she was like, yes, of course. And yeah, and now she can't stop talking about it. She's explaining how they fell out. She's explaining how she tried to sort it out with Taylor, but she just completely shut her down. She's saying, do you know what, Taylor, call me, FaceTime me, I'll pick up.
She has got the receipts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Karma keeps receipts.
Do you want to hear the clip of her talking to James Corden about it?
Yes.
Straight
so
from Katie's mouth?
Yes.
Honestly, it's really like she started it and it's time for her to finish it. This is what happened.
It's about backing dancers, right?
Yeah, it's about backing dancers.
I love them.
It's so crazy. Okay, so there is like three backing dancers that went on tour with her tour, right?
Yeah.
And they asked me before they went on tour.
Yeah.
If they could go. And I was like, yeah, of course. Be sure to put a 30-day contingency in your contract.
Right.
So you can get out if you want to join me when I say I'm going back on. And they said, okay, well, we're going to go and talk to management about it. And they did, and they got fired. And I tried to talk to her about it, and she wouldn't speak to me.
Oh, you tried to talk to her about it?
It was a full shutdown, and then she writes a song about me, and I'm like, okay, cool, cool, cool. That's how you want to deal with it? Karma.
Yeah.
She went the details.
So
she talked about contingency plans, she talked about contract details. She's not leaving any stone unturned.
I love that she mentioned that it was Taylor that fired them.
And she's like, she started it. But my favourite thing about that whole segment is that James Corden is staying as neutral as possible because he definitely wants Taylor Swift on Carpool Karaoke at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the fact that Taylor's been so like, oh, I can't talk about it for like 3 years. And Katie's like, what? I will tell you everything.
Yeah. But she initially, I liked it, because I thought, is she going to talk about it?
Yeah.
Because initially she said it's just a song about being bullied at first.
Yeah.
So was she just saving all the juicy gossip for James Corden?
Save it for Corden.
Well, she did. She did a magazine interview where she said it's not about any one person in particular. Women should empower each other and not fight each other. And then this song comes out and it's like very blatantly about Taylor Swift.
I love the lyrics because she says, I don't need opinions from a shellfish or a sheep. And that was when she tweeted, watch out for a sheep.
Regina George in sheep's clothing.
So I was like, amazing. And then I love, it was like, I'm the courtside killer queen and you will kiss the ring, you best believe. That is an amazing line.
Yeah.
And some of the lines that Nicki Minaj calls her. She calls her a silly rat bish.
I mean, that's a harsh insult.
That's cutting. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, okay.
You silly rat bitch.
Also, Nicki Minaj is terrifying, so I'd be like, don't want to cross Nicki.
Exactly.
As we found with Ruby Rose this week, Ruby Rose hit out at Katie and then she was like, but I like Nicki in it. Because she obviously doesn't want to feel the wrath of Nicki Minaj.
No, you wouldn't piss her off, would you?
No.
The whole thing is just deeply fascinating.
I really want to know what Taylor Swift's going to do now. Because, what can she do? She can either come back with an absolute banger of a song, or she can somehow try and make up with Katie, but that sort of means she's lost, doesn't it?
She will come back with a banger.
Yeah.
She always does. But it is going to be hard because her public image has faced a battering this year.
Yeah.
It's crumbled around her, so I think there's going to be... It's interesting to see how she's going to go back to her old ways, or she's going to try and reinvent herself a bit and just move past this completely. Because she has stayed very quiet about everything. Kim and Kanye, Tom Hiddleston.
I think she's wishing she never took on Katie, because Katie just doesn't care, does she? If she's got something to say, she's gonna flip and say it out loud.
She's got records to sell, she's gonna do it.
Exactly.
But will Taylor come back with another song in answer to this, or is that just too immature, and would that be actually really bad for her image to carry this on? Do you think she's just going to remain silent about the whole thing?
I think she'll come back with a song, because I have this theory that pop stars think they can't like talk shit about each other in interviews, because that's just like being rude. But if they come back in a song, they're a musician and you have to read the lyrics, and they never, like, if they don't want to, obviously Katy Perry is different.
Yeah.
If they don't want to, they never have to confirm it. They go,
that is what's so interesting about
her. It's just about what you think it's about.
It is. I can't think of another celebrity who's blatantly come out and said, like, yeah, this song is about so and so, and this is why I hate them.
Exactly. Although, after Taylor split up with Calvin, he was pretty vocal about it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't go in on me like you did with Katie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, Calvin Harris, he's got an album out end of June. Mm. He's got a song with Katy Perry on there. If I was Taylor Swift, I'd be feeling quite worried right now.
Yeah, what's that song going to be like?
Oh, I honestly, you'll be like reading into the lyrics. The second it comes out, we're all going to be like, what's he saying about her?
It's going to be like the Harry Styles song again. Everyone's going to be reading the lyrics in depth.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I've always been on Team Katie and will remain on Team
Katie.
Yeah,
I mean, I've said this before on the podcast that I was a Tom Hiddleston fan from the start. So when Hiddleswift happened, that was the last straw, and I'm no longer Team Taylor.
Well, do you know what? I feel like I'm going to be Team Taylor when she comes out with a new song.
Do you?
The thing is, you go, oh, Taylor Swift this, Taylor Swift that, and then she comes out with an album, and you're like, oh my God, I love it.
It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, basically, I'm very easily swayed.
Her music is better than Katie, I would say.
Yeah, I would say.
But when it comes to the argument, Team Katie all the way.
And that's all that matters to us as showbiz reporters.
Exactly.
Really at the end of the day.
Gosh, we are so mature. Another great story out this week, Spencer Matthews. Oh my God, he could not have asked for a better thing to happen than his brother marrying Pippa Middleton.
I know, what a week for him. Do you see that picture of him like shaking hands with Princes Harry and William? And you're just like, you're a Maid in Chelsea. What are you doing touching
you
were
the
royalty?
Villain of Maid in Chelsea as well. Like, yes. I used to get so mad watching him on screen. Like, I would have like screaming fits at the TV with my housemates because he made me so angry. Yes. And now he is brushing shoulders with royalty.
Yeah, exactly. But the US media went mad for him. So obviously we know who Spencer Matthews is over here. Page Six, which is like their big gossip column, tweeted, oh, hello, Spencer Matthews. And they were like writing like, who knew James Middleton has a really handsome brother?
If only they knew.
You don't know. So my friend in America was like, I'm having to explain to Americans like who this guy is.
And we do not like him.
No, exactly.
And he's so desperate for fame. And
exactly.
He's terrible.
But the US media is going mad for him. So this is just, it's just a bit weird, like that they're coming to him a bit late. Because I think Maid in Chelsea was on some like tiny little channel, but nobody really watched it over there.
I quite liked him in Maid in Chelsea, though. It's actually in real life that I don't like him.
Oh, really? I've never met him.
Just because he's so desperate all the time to be doing some sort of reality TV show. And
have you met him, though?
No, is he charming?
He's such a charmer.
Is
he? Do you know, the second you meet him, you're like, I can really see why these girls fall for it and just forgive you again and again. And to be fair to him, he does say he's changed his ways. I'm sure he hasn't, but
I did kind of admire. I could never imagine. He's been open about, he's like, well, someone needs to be the villain. I'll be the villain.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of put on, but and also he, makes me so angry at the same time.
He was
time.
So good. That episode where he said to Louise, look, well, if you're going to let me cheat on you, then I can't respect you. And it's like, Spencer?
Yes, I remember
doing?
This.
I wanted her to push him into the river.
Oh, that would have been an amazing end to Maid in Chelsea if she pushed him into a river.
So do you think
all
he's
those river
go...
walks.
Do we think he's going to go to the US now? He's going to, isn't he?
He's had that Prince Harry effect. Do you remember when Kate and William got married and everyone was all of a sudden like gunning for Prince Harry?
Pippa as well. It made Pippa famous, didn't it?
Exactly. My gosh, is then he going to get married? And then do they have another brother? Is this going to be a cycle of like lusting after famous siblings?
Yeah, because America loves the royals. You go over there and you don't realise how big into them they are until they want to talk to you about the royals. And you're like, I don't know. I just sort of look at them on the Mail Online occasionally. I don't know, have
Not
any
that bothered.
Knowledge.
I think it needs to be our duty to do a showreel of his douchiest moments and just send it over to the US and be like, this is what you're in for.
But then
you know,
if you
love
him,
they'll love it.
Because he's got a good accent. And
they don't get douchebag.
They really don't.
And they'll look at everything he's done and then they'll be like, oh, he's still handsome and he has touched a royal. So we're still in.
Like, who cares that he got kicked out of I'm a Celeb for steroid abuse? It's fine.
But compared to his brother, though, he does look very... He is very good looking because his brother, I have to say this, sorry, but he's not much of a looker, is he?
Is he punching?
he really is. But he is like a billionaire or something. He's got so much money, so you could see past
that. What does
she
see in that billionaire?
You said it, I was going to. Anyway, enough of that one because we have to talk about Lucy's moment this week.
She has finally
met the man of her dreams. This has been a long time coming.
You know this joke, because you sit opposite me every day. I am the full-on creepiest creeper that ever lived for Dan Smith from Bastille, lead singer.
Yeah,
Very normal guy, but I, for some reason, am obsessed with him, mainly fueled by the fact that I get to speak to people like Ryan Gosling and Chris Hemsworth, no problem. For some reason, the universe does not want me to meet Dan from Bastille. We'll be on red carpets together and they just won't come over to me. And it's become a thing that I'm like, I have to meet him.
Because they'll come over to you and do the like the crew just before you. And just as you get your mic out ready to say, hi, Dan, he turns around and walks in the other way.
You were on the Brits red carpet with me and literally everyone around me was like, oh, no.
Has he heard this podcast? Is he like, oh, it's her again? Just
I mean, I make
around.
No secret of it. I talk about it on the radio basically every day.
Yeah.
And my friend made me a pillow with his face.
Oh my
it.
God.
And she laminated a picture of him and put it up next to her desk.
I mean, okay. No, yeah, I mean, I am normal.
Just not overdone. Just,
yeah, so anyway, I finally got to speak to him this week. Very nice. Got two hugs.
Two hugs.
We love. Bonded over festivals and films. But the big thing I want to talk about is because there is a reason we've included this clip is because Twin Peaks came back out this week.
Yes.
So if you don't know anything about Twin Peaks, it was on 25 years ago and was this cult hit TV show. And it was unlike anything that had ever been on TV. And yeah, they finally came back 25 years later and it was really, no one really knew what to expect. And Dan is the biggest Twin Peaks fan of all time, I think. He's got a song called Laura Palmer, which
yes.
is yep. about the mate, like the kind of murder victim in the show. So when I sat down with him, it was the day that Twin Peaks had come out, and I asked him, obviously, have you seen it and are you worried about it, basically?
Whenever anything is revived or comes back after a long time, people are always kind of tentative to get behind it. But I just think it was something that was so unique and so fantastic and so pioneering and influential. Since then, TV has kind of massively caught up and I think overtaken film as a medium. You've now got this 10-hour space, a massive budget, and no censorship or restrictions to make these sort of incredible stories.
All true. All true words from him
Did
there.
Did he live up to your expectations?
Yes. I have met him before.
Okay.
And he was very nice last time. And last time I interviewed them, I'm such an idiot, they just said him and the bassist Will were like, oh, what are you doing later? Just out of interest, I guess. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to go home and watch Bake Off. And they were like, okay. And just walked out of the room. Oh. I seem like the biggest loser of all time. So I tried to sound a bit cooler this time by talking about Twin Peaks and not Bake Off.
I think you succeeded. I think that was wonderful. I think
Thank
you're in
you.
Love. You're going to get married. Spence Matthews will be your best man. You'll both go to America.
Do I have
successful.
A sibling that everyone can lust after?
I mean, do you?
I
do
have
you?
A 30-year-old sister, so maybe.
Yeah, okay, fine. Good luck
yeah,
to her.
Yeah, so guys, get the feelers out. Get me in a room with him again.
And if you want to know what Twin Peaks is actually like, then you can listen to the other Heat podcast, which
yes.
is The Unmissables with
Boy
Tilton.
Talking about it. From my novice, I do love the original series. I have watched it a few times and it's very weird and interesting and bizarre. And apparently the new ones are very good as well. So
Boyd
come back.
At 2 a.m. to watch it. On the so
4 hours came out, which is just insane.
Got up at 2 a.m, watched it, did the podcast, have a listen. He might sound a bit hysterical, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
You'd be hysterical talking about Twin Peaks anyway, let alone if you had no sleep.
Because I was actually old enough to watch the original when it was first on TV and you had to wait. I know, shut up. It's awful. I shouldn't even be on this podcast. I'm far too old. But it was, honestly, it was that, you know, every week you had to wait and then it was on and you would go into school the next day and say, did you watch it? What is going on? Mm. And there was all these little clues about who was Laura's murderer. So I'm so intrigued about this one. I haven't actually watched it, but I can't wait. But I feel like I want to watch the original series again first.
I've been doing that. I'm halfway through the second season and I do want to finish it again just to kind of refresh because I feel like David Lynch, the director, is not going to, like, give you any handouts.
No.
He's going to do whatever he wants. And if you don't remember anything from the series, that's your fault.
Yeah, and then you're not going to have the same experience, are you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I need to go and rewatch.
Yeah, yes. I've never seen it and I never will. There we go. that's the end of
and
my
that's
story.
Why you're on this podcast and not The Unmissable.
Exactly.
Well, that's it from us then this week. Thank you so much for listening. This is the We're Obsessed With WOW podcast. It comes out weekly every Friday. And if you like what you hear here, the magazine is out now. Heat Radio is on 24/7 and you can go to heatworld.com for breaking news. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.